Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. When I was a college student in my senior year, that fall, I began interviewing with some of the so-called Big Six accounting firms that were recruiting on campus. These were large international CPA firms like Ernst & Young and Coopers & Lybrand, firms which many of us in the accounting program dreamed of going to work for after graduation. And the firms that fall were interviewing for both full-time positions and also for summer internships. And a lot of us who were going to go into graduate school, like myself, a lot took the opportunity to take an internship that summer after graduating with the bachelor's degree. Now, even though I knew that if I did a decent job during an internship, I could come back to school with a job offer in my hand, I didn't pursue an internship myself. I told myself that I didn't want an internship because they were all in audit and I wanted to work in the tax side. But really, I think I had just heard enough about internships from some of my older friends in accounting and decided no way, no how was I signing up for that sorts of indentured servitude. If I had interned with one or of the firms that I was most interested in, though, I could have gotten some good experience, and I would have had a chance to see if the culture of that particular firm was a good fit for me. But I decided that instead of spending the summer reconciling cash accounts, counting inventory, and making copies for the tax staff who finally had someone that they were superior to, I decided I would just get started on grad school. And so that's what I did. To be an intern is to be a student, but out in the real world, observing what goes on in the field of study that you have only been reading about previous, learning from others, not just about how to apply what you had learned in school, but also some of those intangible things like how to dress and how to act and how to talk. An intern does low-level work, it's true, but it is low risk then for the intern and for the firm. An intern is not going to do any work that someone else won't look over first. An intern is not going to present any results to a chief executive officer, but an intern is given a safe environment to learn in, and the firm is safe from any damage an intern might do on their own. But you know, you can't make a career out of an internship. My classmates and I, whether we had taken internships or not, we all graduated, we took full-time jobs, we went off to find places to live, and we began to make our way into the world as grown-ups, even though we often felt like we were just playing at being grown-ups. I finished school, but I continued to learn on the job. I did my share of low-level work. I worked long hours. I worked my way up in the firm. I began to manage other people. I started meeting with those CEOs at first with managers with me and eventually on my own. Year after year, I was given more and more responsibility. I was allowed, I was asked, I was expected to more and more visibly represent my firm, not just in front of clients, but also as I networked around the country with others in my field of specialty, and as I then went out and began recruiting college students. Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you is that when you look at today's scripture, and you consider that in this passage, Jesus is leaving instructions for his disciples, I think we can see that they are his interns. He is promoting them out of their internship. He is promoting them to go out into the world to represent the triune God to all that they meet. Now, we only find these words that we know is the Great Commission. We only find these specific words in the Gospel of Matthew. These are words that are given to the disciples who have gathered to meet the risen Christ on a mountain in Galilee. This is a place that Jesus told his followers before he was even arrested that he would meet them when it was over. He reminded them to meet him there by telling the women that he met on that first Easter, "Do not be afraid, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." We are never told what mountain specifically this meeting takes place on, but it doesn't really matter. You see, in the Bible, the mountains have always been places where divine revelations are made to humankind. And that is just what this occasion is. Because in the Gospel of Matthew, this is the first and only story that we hear about Jesus, the risen Christ, meeting these disciples of his. And he tells his remaining disciples, when he meets them there, that he has all authority, and with that authority, he sends them out to the world, to the whole world, to make disciples of all the world. Go, baptize, teach, he tells them. Your internship is over. On-the-job training has ended. Jesus had sent them out before, but not to the whole world. Jesus had given them authority before, but not to teach and not to baptize. Now it was all theirs. It was all in their hands. Now, we're all here this morning as a result of the work that was started by those disciples, and it is easy for us to overlook how scary that moment would have been for them, because we're sitting here and we know how successful they were, right? It is hard to get back into that moment, but just think about what that must have felt like, how scary it would have been, how terrifying. Here was their teacher before them, telling them to go wider and farther than he himself had gone. Go worldwide, he is telling them. Go worldwide, even though his relatively localized work had gotten him killed. Consider how, in the moment, it would have felt. How daunting, how impossible. Here Jesus was telling them to go to Gentile and Jew and teach them everything that Jesus had taught them. Bring them all in, he is telling them. Make them all my disciples. Even though Jesus himself did not bring everyone in. What a crazy ask. A crazy ask of 11 shaken and shaky men. Look at what this scripture tells us about those men that day. They have showed up on the mountain, and when they see Jesus, they worship him. But they also doubt. The New Revised Standard Version, which is what we always use in this service, translates, "They worshiped him, but some doubted." Kind of difficult to understand. Did it mean that everyone worshiped? and a subset of them doubted? Or does it mean that some of them worshiped and others doubted? Well, I looked into this, and in my study this week, I read that a better translation of this may be, "but they doubted." That is probably the truest translation to Matthew's understanding of what discipleship looks like. As professor of New Testament M. Eugene Boring writes, Matthew's understanding of discipleship is always a matter of little faith. A faith that is not cocksure. A faith that also has doubt, but yet worships. And I think that's all good news for us. And here's why. It's not just those men on that mountain that day that are called by Jesus to go and baptize and teach. It's us as well. That's what discipleship is about. And no matter the fact that we know that these men were successful in their mission, any of us who are honest with ourselves today must admit that we have doubts about our own fitness, our own readiness for such a grand, impossible mission. But that's okay. That's okay. If you consider that those 11 who had witnessed what they were witnessing still had their own doubts with their faith, but yet they worshiped and they went and they baptized and they taught, I think it's probably okay if we do too, as long as we go. You know, I eventually left that big accounting firm that I went to work for after graduation. After about a dozen years, I went to work for one of my largest clients, a client in an industry that I had specialized in for a decade. And over my time at that firm, I had built up a wealth of knowledge about the industry. But I've been there 17 years now, and I still learn every day. I never will stop learning and growing on that job. But that is not to say that I am not supposed to be about the work that is asked of me, that is expected of me. As someone who has decades of experience in this area of tax, but do I have doubts about some of the questions that are asked? Do I have doubts about some of the projects that are given to me that I'm expected to land? Oh, absolutely. But that doesn't stop me from rolling up my sleeves and getting to work, taking what I do know and what I have learned and applying it to the task at hand. I have to read, I have to research, I have to ask for help. But I am never allowed to give up, and I'm never allowed to just leave it to someone else. And I'm also not allowed to not build up those below me who need experience and who need to be taught and who need to grow. The learning and the growing, it's never over. But we can't put the doing and the teaching on hold because of it. You know, our faith journey is not like my work journey. I think it's been an interesting analogy, but the work journey can be isolated. It can be lonely and scary because as good as my boss might be, I can't always count on having someone by my side who's going to have my back. I can't be sure that I will always get the help and the encouragement that I need, and I can't be sure that someone will cover over any mistakes that I might make along the way. But in our faith journey, we can be assured that Jesus goes with us, just like he told those disciples he would. That doesn't make discipleship less scary or less daunting, but it gives us hope, especially if we keep in mind that it's not what we do that is ever going to bring another soul into discipleship. It's God working within those that we encounter as we go, as we baptize, as we teach. Just like it was God working inside of us that made us disciples in the first place. It's God's authority that is the important part. And when you pair God's authority with our willing feet and hands and voices through the Spirit, that's when the impossible becomes real. And one more thing. When we go out to make disciples, we don't cease to be disciples ourselves. Discipleship is a lifelong state. So maybe my sermon title today should have been, "The Internship is Never Over." Because it's not. John Wesley believed that we could reach perfection in Christ. But I think that we all realize that there's always more study that can be done and always more life application that can be applied. There's always something more that we can learn. There's always more we can strive to do. So, may we all be filled with the Holy Spirit to go, whether it's around the world or just across the street, baptizing in the name of the triune God and teaching what we have learned, what we are learning still, in both our words and in our obedient actions, to the glory of that same triune God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we look at that mountain and those 11 men and the task that you gave them, and we sit here because they were obedient. We sometimes forget how daunting their task was. And we sometimes forget that we have been given that same daunting task. There is still a lot of this world that hasn't heard your teachings and doesn't know your grace and your love. We are all called to go out into this world, and we are all uniquely gifted to do that work in unique ways. Some will be called into international mission. Others will be called to serve in their local church. Others may not even cross the threshold of a church, but are very much about your love and your grace and your word in their lives, transforming those that they know and that they meet through ministries that are nothing but Jesus-filled. So, Lord, we ask you to give us a good gut check this morning, that we would hear this call, this sending, this commissioning that was given to us as well, and that you, as you always do, would empower us to go and be about your work, to go and baptize and teach, all while continuing to be disciples at your feet. In your Son's name we pray this morning. Amen.